This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Singing Over Me, A Joplin Tornado Survivor's Journey. And the author is Danielle C. Stammer. And Danielle joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Danielle.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
This is beyond a description, really. We're going to share a few moments of, let's see, what date was it? May 22nd. Of 2011, just last year, when Joplin, Missouri, the center of the town, was just annihilated, right?
From one side to the other, the
one
storm cut a path.
End to the other, yeah, an F5 tornado, and you were in it. You say you reveal how your family survived the Joplin tornado and recounts the emotions and choices that you had to make to get your family through the tornado in the following days, weeks, and months. And you also say it's about our experience in the Joplin tornado and what I say when friends ask me, but the clip from the cover says it better. What do you mean by that?
Oh, when if someone wants to know what I wrote about, I would say it's our tornado story.
Your tornado story.
That's
yes.
A clip from the front of the back of the book. Danielle C. Stammer reveals how her family survived the Joplin tornado and recounts the emotions and choices they made to get their family through the tornado in the following days, weeks, and months. That sounds a whole lot better.
Yes. Well, it's really, as we were talking before we started recording, it's difficult for any of us. It's impossible for anyone just watching the news to really understand the event and to understand the sheer terror of it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It seems so far removed from the TV, although I'm sure there are lots of people who watched with horror on their faces and terror in their hearts thinking about all of what had gone on. But, yeah, it's still hard because it looks like something out of a movie, not something real.
Right. So, I mean, it's something like this. One of your children struggles still.
My oldest, she was 3 at the time. She was old enough to kind of know what was going on. And for several months, 6 or more, she had a lot of fear of wind and rain and new situations and loud noises. But over time, she's learned to put those in their proper place again and be okay.
So let's go back to May 22nd. Where were you, and did you realize what was about to happen?
We had no idea what was about to happen. In fact, we were quite a bit north of where the tornado actually came, but the sirens went off there because there was a cell in the north that was capable of producing a tornado. And so we heeded the advice to get away from there and drove back into town, only to find out that there was another cell capable of producing a tornado coming through the middle. And the one that came actually came out of the south. The other two never formed. And we ended up driving into the heart of what would be an EF5 tornado's path. And we drove to a hospital to seek shelter. And there aren't as many basements in Joplin. Just the way the land is laid out, it's not really conducive to basements. And drove to a hospital seek shelter, and the tornado touched down before we got there, but it was still a mile or two away. And when we got to the entrance, we didn't get far enough to get to the entrance where the shelter was. We just got to the first entrance we could get to, and we realized we were locked out of the hospital. And my husband bravely broke down the sliding glass door. Or broke it off its hinges so we could slip underneath. And before it came off the track and we got under, right as the second that we got inside, the tornado hit in full force. And he and my daughter were sucked back out of the building, but he ended up hitting the door frame of an exterior door and finding himself on the bottom stair of a stairwell going up outside, holding my daughter under him and holding on to the railing. my son and I were thrown down onto the floor right inside where we had just come in. And as that's where we waited out the most of the storm. And I could feel all the debris coming in and raining down on me, and I didn't want my baby to be afraid. So as I, as he started crying when we first fell, I just started singing to him, and I was praising the Lord because I didn't feel afraid. And I knew that even if I didn't make it, like, we would be okay. Like, our family would be okay. Mm. And that either way, in life or death, the Lord had my back, you know, so to speak.
Right. So thus the title, Singing Over Me.
Close. it was that experience that months later, I was sitting at a conference, and everyone was singing, and I was reliving that moment, reliving the terror, reliving the of being locked out, the peace when I'm singing to my son. And the Lord kind of gifted me with a change of perspective, kind of like a movie where it dims back out. It was as if I could just see the presence of the Lord over me, singing over me. Hmm. And I knew that as I was comforting my child, he was comforting my heart. And that's where the title came from.
Hmm. Fantastic. Well, that's very reassuring in these moments where most of us have never experienced something like this. And this is your first one.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine? I don't think any of us imagined something. I mean, we've been, you know, we see the bad storm, we see the dark clouds, we hear the weather report, we're watching TV and they're talking about the, you know, tornadoes touching down around us, but none of us ever imagine, even though you can feel it. I mean, I've been in those, and everyone I'm sure has, that where you feel your heart beating a little faster. Because you wonder if the tornado is going to hit, because, you know, the weather is so bad. And, well, we always hear, it sounds like a locomotive. Is that what it sounded like?
It's funny because I think we were too close to maybe even hear that. When we first got in and realized we were locked out, the wind had already picked up quite a bit. The tornado wasn't even upon us yet, but surrounding it is high wind, and that was so loud that I couldn't hear my husband banging into the sliding glass door just over my shoulder. And so my ears couldn't take in any more of what was going on, and so everything that I heard was in my mind. Everything was crystal clear in my head, what I was thinking and what I was processing. So I wish I knew whether it sounded like a locomotive. If it was, this was a very, very large train because it was like a half a mile wide.
Wow.
I mean, like, I thought a tornado was like a little spiral swirly thing that came out of the sky, and if it hit where you are, that's really, really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was very large.
Yeah, monster,
very, very
obviously.
High wind.
That's why it's called an F5.
Right, exactly.
Biggest, the most
Nothing
deadly.
I could have prepared myself
yes.
for.
Yes, and let's see, what are the winds projected for an F5?
I think 261 to 318
oh,
miles per
hour. Oh, my goodness, over 261 miles per hour. And you two survived that. What do you say? I mean, what do you say?
It just seems pretty amazing. It really seems like we really should be standing before the throne of the Lord. And instead...
Yeah.
Here we are, telling a story.
Right.
I mean, it's really kind of shocking that we survived it. Although at the time, of course, you don't know what it is that's going over you. I mean, it could have been a small swirly tornado that was just going over the path
yes.
of where we were. Only later, when you start to grasp the magnitude of what had just happened, and the reality of the survival becomes more and more shocking.
Now, how many people died in that?
161.
161? 161. And, of course, probably hundreds and hundreds injured.
Right.
Right.
Definitely.
And how many homes were destroyed?
That number I don't remember, but it's block after block after block, neighborhood after neighborhood.
So how long did it take you to regroup after going through this near-death experience, this incredible terrorizing experience? How long did it take you before you were able to then, of course, go see your home?
I didn't get to see it until the next day. Through a series of events, my husband and I were separated because he was injured and I was not. And so he was taken to a hospital in an outlying community. And I eventually got in touch with family to pick me up, and they took me to their house. And didn't get to see my home until the next morning. And we knew that rain was coming that morning by 9 a.m. And so we tried to hurry to get there, put tarps on the roof, try to protect the house as much as we could, because the house was still standing, but it had significant damage. But inches and inches of rain on a roof that's not all there, you know, that doesn't really work out so well. So luckily I was in the home, so I was able to move our most important things, most precious things, to drier corners, and ended up saving quite a few things. Mm-hmm. That, you know, possession-wise, and then, of course, the house itself ended up having to be gutted.
Reading that part of that chapter where the rain started coming down, it looked like everything, you were okay, and then everything started leaking everywhere.
It came pouring in. I didn't expect that at all.
Right.
I thought, things are looking up. Okay,
yeah, got the tarp on the roof. This is going to be okay.
And then finally I realized the rain won. I lost. I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, obviously a lot of lessons here about life and about faith and about perseverance and about family and friends and unity and just thankfulness, right?
Definitely.
What can you tell us? Tell us, you know, some feelings. Give us some feelings.
Well, the book is quite honest about feelings. It's honest about the struggle and the triumph and the grief and the healing. And all of those came through this whole process. It didn't come in a moment. There were dark days, and dark days became dark on top of dark, more dark days. And really felt like, will good come again, or do we just have to have it one after another? But people were beautiful to us. People we had never met had come to our aid to support our family. One of this magnitude of families who were in need, there were enough good people that each family could have help. I just think that's so beautiful. People from all around the country and even the world having us on their hearts and concern for us.
So the victims and those who came to help all learned a great deal.
I think so. I think we learned, for one, I learned that when I hear of someone in need, I know which people touch my heart the most, and I can be that person for someone else, where before I may have been a blundering goof, or I could have not even cared, oh, that's too far removed for me, I don't need to do anything. But to watch people give generously and sacrificially and think, would I have done the same in that place? I learned. And I'm sure the people who came, their stories would be very different. But I think they would have lessons learned, too, as they, because, I mean, we were made to take care of each other. It's good for us when we do it. And so I'm sure that they learned some things as well.
So a whole new perspective on the Lord's second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Well said.
Well, he said it.
Well,
I couldn't have said it that well.
Well connected.
Yes, well connected, yes. Well, that came to my mind when you were just saying that. It's good is good triumphs, even though sometimes we wonder how long it's going to take. But look at this now. Yeah. We just have a few minutes left. Here it is, over a year later. Where are you now?
We have just moved into our own place. We lived with family for 11 months. And that means that we're not quite unpacked yet. but we're making our own. And my husband has a good job that he enjoys. And we have a yard with a garden in it, and that's my favorite. We can work
and
outside
this is in
the evening.
And this is in Joplin?
No. When we moved in with family, in Joplin there wasn't really very many places to live since there were so many people looking for housing. Mm-hmm. And right away, my family said, just come stay with us for a little bit. We thought, yeah, we'll just stay for a little bit. Well, right. A little bit ended up being 11 months. Right. And then during that time, we decided, okay, my husband needs to go ahead and find a job where we are. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, well, if you take a job somewhere, you've moved somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just all kind of fell together like that.
Right.
And so now we live about 3 hours away from Joplin. We're still there quite a bit. Still feels like home, and where we live now feels like home. It's a funny feeling to have your kind of heart in two places. But our family is also growing. We are expecting our third, so more changes on the horizon.
Right.
Thank you.
We've been listening to Danielle C. Stammer. She is the author of her book, Singing Over Me, A Joplin Tornado Survivor's Journey. Danielle, tell us how to get your book.
You can go visit the website. It's www.singingovermeme.com. It's also available other places online. It's hardback and soft and ebook as well.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you for having me.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on Toginet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on Toginet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Wake Up to All You Are, and the author is Winifred Rich. And Winnie joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Winnie.
Hi, Steve.
Well, this is an exciting children's book, and we're going to find out about why you have written it and some of the principles that are in it. It's a poetic. It's filled with poems. You said in your title, To All You Are, and you ask these questions. Have you ever wondered who you are, why you are here, how to use your special magic, the answers are inside. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, Winnie?
All right. I am a first grade teacher, or not now, I'm retired. And I was a parent and grandparent And as I began to work with principles like these, I understood what a difference it would have been if there had been a primer for life teaching like this is. When I was born, when my children were born, how different our lives would have been if we had known these truths and how to use them in our lives to create wonderful, happy, healthy, abundant living.
So why did you write this book? Besides it being a primer, you also had a very special spiritual experience.
Yes, I did, and I'm hesitant to talk about it, but I had had a bad accident, auto accident. And after that, for a period of time, I could see into and hear into other realms. And during that period of time, Jesus came, and he said, I want you to write this book, and I want you, because they got it all mixed up. He said, when I got back from my years, my lost years in India and Tibet, I came and I brought that back into the temple. And it was so jarring to these people because they were the chosen people of God. And they were so intimidated by the teachings because they were so different. And for a lot of years after that, hundreds of years after that, they kept these things under wraps because it gave the people power over their lives, and the people in charge didn't want them to have that power. So he said, now it's time for those things to come out, and I want you to present this in a children's book.
So you decided to write a children's book, but it's more than a children's book. What do you call it, more than a children's book?
To me, it's a book for families. Yes, all these different, the three different chapters are, first of all, why we are here, or who we really are. Who we really are is part of God. If we weren't part of God, we wouldn't exist even for a split second. But if you say to somebody, I'm part of God, they think that's, irreligious. But it's not. It's just, accounting for who we are. And the next chapter is why we're here. We're here. You're born to learn to love yourself and everything around you, and to know that you're part of everything. And now they know that God's DNA is in everything in creation, the same DNA, and we're right there with everything else. And everything else, because everything is made of love, we are made of love, and we're surrounded every moment by love. And then the last part of it is how to create what kind of whatever and anything we want in life. And it's pretty amazing stuff.
That's why your title says it so well, Wake Up to
Yes.
All You Are.
Yes, it's phenomenal. The more I thought about it, the more amazed I became. And I was hooked. I was enthralled and excited, and my life began again.
What age group is this book targeting?
I would say third graders, because third grade is when they begin chapter books. Now, children seem to like this book because it's fun and it's pretty pictures, and they like it. They like the energy. They like the power that it gives them. And in fact, I know some girls on my street each had one, and they took them to an overnight, which was very telling, I thought, that the kids are accepting of the information and everything that they can do with their lives to improve them, and they get it. They get it. Children understand spirituality far more than adults because they still live it. The longer we're on this planet, the more we become acculturalized and limited and controlled by other people, and we forget that still small voice in us that says, you can do anything. And we listen to the one that says, you have to pay me money. You know, things like that. But children really, really understand spirituality. They understand the blessings in nature and how wonderful it is to be outside and to be a part of everything else. and they just get into it. They love to feed the squirrels and feed the birds and be aware of how wonderful everything is out there. My favorite little story about that is that there's a little 2-year-old boy, and he climbs up in bed with his, under the crib with his newborn sister, and he says to her, "Tell me about God. I forgot." And children do remember far more than we do.
Mm-hmm. They're so innocent.
Yes.
Now, who you did the illustrations?
Yes.
Oh, they're beautiful. They just
Thank
really
you.
Come alive.
Thank you very much.
It must have been a great experience doing that.
It was. The whole book was an experience, and it was a real spiritual journey for me. I'd be awakened at 3 a.m. almost daily and be given things to write. So I'd have to keep a notebook by my bed. And it was just so much fun.
You make this statement, because we share one spirit that sees through everyone, see another as yourself, and know that you are one. Really just people helping people, seeing others as themselves. Now, do the kids pick up on this?
Oh, absolutely. Children are far more aware than we are, but we underestimate them. They are wise beyond their years. They're highly intuitive. Certainly something we need to know and learn and live together peacefully. And children get this. And what my hope is that families can read these books together, read the chapters together and aloud. They're poetry. So they're meant to be read aloud. I had a friend who read it to her husband, and she said, "I swear you," he had tears in his eyes. So the work is very powerful. It's very deep. But it's not heavy. It's light and fun. Because you can't get through your children unless they're having a good time.
Right, right. Well, fun, they learn when they're having fun.
Everybody does.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. And we need, and when families work together that way, when they read together, that these are learning that'll stay with them all over. And we learn from children as they learn from us. And what this is, this cyclic teaching we giving to each other, which will last for years. And the bonding that that creates is irreplaceable. You cannot do beautiful, deep bonding like that and not have it pay off forever.
In the final chapter, you talk about creating what children want. Can really children understand that and even master it?
Oh, yes, heavens. This is their play. Look what children do in their when they're left to their own devices. They'll play, "I'm Batman." "No, I'm Batman." You know, and they, "I am a fireman. I am a ballet dancer." And they really get into this, and they feel it from every fiber of their being. It comes naturally to them. It's the first thing that they do. That's how they learn. And they feel the love themselves. Now, let me tell you a little bit about creating. Or manifesting is another way to say it. Now, we use the God part of us, and we work with the subconscious. And here's what we do. We feel whatever it is we want to have. We get excited about it. We picture it. We get into this, but we really make it come alive in us. And we do that, like maybe for just a couple of 3 minutes or whatever, and then we are thankful for that. And then we do that several times a day. It's the feeling and the repetition. And you know how kids are with repetition. Look how, but adults have lost that a little bit. So children really are far more able to create than adults. We have to remember and teach ourselves again how to do that. And we can work with our children, and they can help teach us how to live that world while we teach them how to live in this one. It's this lovely cyclic experience in family.
So how do we help our children grow spiritually?
Well, example, and allow them to slow down and just be. I see first graders now whose bodies are not yet ready for school all day long, and they have homework. Now, this is this is not how children should be. They should be allowed to be free, to be out in the sunshine, to play and run and laugh. That's everybody's natural state, and we get them out of that. But if they can just relax and be who they are, sit back and watch the clouds go by, play with the dog, you know, things like this. This is so important. It's time we spend with the universe, and it's how they can, I mean, it's how everyone spends time with the universe, spends time with God. We slow down and allow our lives to unfold and be beautiful.
But how can we help them overcome fear?
Fear brings problems. It's how we learn and grow our soul. But what they need to know is that there is nothing that God brings us that is and has any fear in it all. Fear comes from our own minds, and that's all the power that it has. We bring those problems to ourselves from probably things that we've been told or whatever. But it's nothing that's God only brings us something good. Only the good comes from God. And when they can let go of that, they've grown past that. And when they can meet that little problem, meet that fear, my teacher told me to turn and kiss my demons on the lips. So that means you don't run away from it. You just turn and face it, and you say, what are you trying to teach me here? So that can be a lesson from relationship. It can be a relation from the body. I mean, a lesson from the body. It can be anything, money, you name it. And it does have a lesson. Then when you've learned it, you feel so good about yourself.
So we shouldn't be afraid of problems. You're teaching children not to be afraid of problems.
Yes, to meet them and embrace them, because somewhere there's a gift in there.
What would you say in closing, Winnie, what is the most important thing to do in life?
Be happy. Now, you think that's kind of simplistic, but here's why that's so important, Steve. When people are happy, they love themselves, they have good health, they have enough, they have enough. And as an aside, I just wanted to mention to you that when I had that accident, I could see into other realms, and I could see how cared we are. I could see that we're watched over. We're given everything we need before we ask for it. So there's really no problem that we can't deal with, because everything is here for us, except what we want to manifest an addition to that. So to be happy and peaceful and value yourself, everything falls into place then, because we're dealing with God like we're not down in the, how would we call it, the bottom of the cesspool. We're up in the sunshine, where good energy is, where the divine energy is, and we can work with it then. And if we don't love ourselves, we block the blessings from coming from us, because we don't think we deserve it, but we do.
We've been listening to Winifred Rich. Winnie, tell us how to get your book, Wake Up to All You Are.
Two ways. First of all, you can call Balboa. You can write Balboa Press in Indiana, and you can let me, you can get in touch with me also. My phone number is area code 360-638-0446, and I live in Hansville, Hansville, Washington, 98340. It will come. I'm also going to be working on getting the artwork out to people and getting parent and guides for the book, so it can be used in any study school. And so those things can happen. But just so they can write to me. Some of that, the guide and the artwork is available through me. The book is also, but you can also get it through Balboa Press.
Thank you, Winnie, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles, and then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Autumn Leaves Dancing in the Wind. Your Journey of Knowing is a Search Within. And the author is Huguette Castaneda. And Huguette joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Huguette.
Hello.
Good to have you with us.
I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, we're looking forward to learn more about Autumn Leaves Dancing in the Wind, conjures up all kinds of images, and of course, you talk about your journey of knowing. And so this book, you say, is a collection of personal reflections written at a time of search for meaning. There are times in our lives when we search for truth and we must delve deeply within to find the true value of life. So this was a journey for you, and you talk about journaling, and this book came out of that. It's a book of poetic expressions, and we're going to hear from you, have you read a few of those for us. But first of all, tell us, what was the motivation? What prompted you publishing this book? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was raised Christian, and I always had a sense of something, that there was a deeper inner truth that I needed to reach. And so this book came out of this search for like about 20 years of delving within all the scripts that are written and trying to find what is the truth behind the truth that was being taught. And so during that journey, I started to write my thoughts, and this book was actually written in 1978. It seemed to be a time of transformation, of reawakening, it seemed, of myself. And I wanted to, it wasn't time, it seemed at that time, to share these writings, even though they were copyrighted. But the time came, and I finally got the opportunity to find someone who would help me edit them. And I thought, well, this is really a sign that it's time to put it out there. And the reason for writing it was really to put it out there was really to share some of these thoughts with other people who go through the stages of feeling kind of alone in the world and at times doubting what is and trying to discover is there a true connection to something more that would fill us. And so this is the writings that were the product of this search.
You call yourself a ceremonial master and universal minister. Now, explain what that means.
As a ceremonial master, I attended a school in Utah that taught me to connect with the earth, to really honor Mother Earth, Mother Nature, and from then on to connect with the archangelic kingdom. And so in becoming a ceremonial master, you do have the opportunity to baptize, to marry, and you can do it in a ceremony where people are connecting more to the elements of the earth. But also you can also connect with the archangelic kingdom, so that is bringing down the energies that would be healing, that would be uplifting. And so it's just a different aspect of the same thing as a universal minister is more recognized in a church-like surrounding. Which makes it so that as a universal minister, I have the ability to baptize in any religion or to marry in any religion and to do the rites that are allowable in any of those organized religion or to do it in a place that is more open to different kinds of thinking, like a unity church.
There are times for everyone when there's doubt, when we feel that life seems to feel negative or that we've been told untruth all of our life, and we wonder why we're here, you know, our purpose. Your book brings into focus to help us to understand why we're here.
Well, it really does, and that understanding of why we're here, we will personally discover as we delve deeper and find that true inner master that guides us.
You have early in the book, you have a page with a wheel on it. The limitless abundance of the universe expresses continuously through our life, and then the spokes of the wheel, love, joy, at oneness, health, abundance, harmony, wisdom, and peace. Are these the thoughts, the reflections kind of revolve around these different spokes of this wheel?
Yes, it really is, because our limitless abundance comes from the universe, or what some would term God, or some would give that being a different name. But he's our creator. He's our being that guides us, that loves us. He's the spirit of love. And so out of this abundance that is continually flowing through us, we receive our love, our joy, our at oneness, our health, our abundance, our harmony, our wisdom, our peace. And all of these are just the products of the gifts and the benefits of just going within and connecting with that true source.
Why don't you share one of your writings with us?
I will share this first one, song. There is a song in my soul. It plays on the string of harmony, peace, and joy. It speaks words of silence that can only be heard by inner ears, music that can be seen by inner eyes. It vibrates through a body of light, activates waves and motions of perfection.
Well, that was very beautiful. The type of book, type of writing that when we read it, it's just not to read, but to ponder and to reflect upon.
It is definitely so. Everyone who has the book has made that comment to me. We can't just read through your book. We have to just take a reading and ponder on it and take time to reflect on it. It's just that kind of a book, they tell me. It's one where you would put by your bedstand and one that you would feel today, oh my goodness, I think I need a thought to uplift me, or something where you think you need some guidance, and then you would go and pick out something at random or something continuous. And so everyone seems to feel that it's a really beautiful gift book.
And it applies to everyone, the young and the old?
And it really does, because some of the things, writings inside the book are more childlike, like a child's prayer, or we thank you, God, for this day. Like the child prayer is, thank you, God, for your son to warm me, for the sand to play in, for the trees to climb up, for blocks to build the houses, for my cat who sleeps with me, for water to make mud that I can get dirty in, for my toys to play and share with others, for my friend's company, for the times when my daddy plays with me, for the cookies that my mommy bakes me, for books to read, for crayons and paints to make pictures. Thank you for being so small enough to fit inside of me.
Well, very simply said, and yet conjures up all kinds of images. So well done. You say, my love is to honor nature, the sea, the sky, and the creator. And I think we're hearing that in these writings of, well.
Yes, because my meditation is really that, walking through on the beach by the sea. Going there early in the morning, seeing the sunrise, and you can't help but honor your creator when you really see the true beauty that comes in at dawn, or the gorgeous sunset that we get in the evening. And the place where I live now, this new piece of land that I have bought that I feel is a gift from Mother Nature, where it's so lushly landscaped that with beautiful flowers and all kinds of fruits, and this gorgeous sunshine we get, I can't help but feel it's my little paradise.
A lot of times we're looking for big miracles and major events to change our lives, but you say miracles are there every day, but we've got to just look for them.
And a friend used to say to me all the time, it's not the big things that are the miracle, it's those everyday occurrences. So our life isn't measured by how many breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. And there's so many of them that can take our breath away if we just take time to look and observe.
Does all religion lead to the same place?
It really does, because the deep truths that were taught us were so simple, and they were so consistent within all the religions. Sometimes what makes us see them as so different is the way that our human nature has structured them. But in its own core, in its own truth, they're all pretty much teaching us the same thing, to look again within, to look again to the Creator, to honor the beauty of what is around us and be thankful for it.
Please share another one with us.
Let's do this one. Rejoice. The sun began to shine. The crystal began to melt. New cycles of life were beginning. The observer rejoiced. His being enjoyed the warmth of the sun, the excitement when all comes to life, the musical songs of the bird. Wake up, little bird. Search for a proper place to nest. Soon new life, new miracles will be born. Sing your song, call your mates, Then the two will be trees and many more. The sap will flow through the veins of trees, waking up its body, budding new leaves. Sing a song, little bird, call in spring. Let the sun melt the crystal. The streams begin to flow. Where do they go? Down the dirt path, into the paved way, underground, into tunnels, out into the river, rush into the ocean, and there flow inward, outward with the tide. Sing your song, little birds. Rejoice.
Very peaceful. It's what I'm feeling as you read that, just a lot of peace. And as you put it, love is about loving the little things and being grateful for them, like the song of a bird, a sunrise. But they open to us, as you say, to bigger moments of meaning. They may be little, but if we allow what you say, the light of inspiration?
Yes. If we allow the light of inspiration to come within, if we allow to let it speak to us, then we see the beauty that is around us, and then it guides us.
Well, we have time for one more, if you will read one more of your writings.
The invisible path. It was given to one to enter, passing the portals of the gates of the city. The eye scanned to the right and to the left. House by house, the one entered, taking onto itself only a speck of light that each had given of its knowing reality. On and on the one traveled, till it arrived at the end of the city. There were no more houses to enter, so upon its ground, in the seemingly bare land, it laid all the specks of light. Together they gathered to form a light path, an invisible way to a crystal dome. As soon as the path was known, it disappeared, so now the one was to light the way by its own inner brightness. The way was long indeed. The one knew the others who guide, who direct those who travel the only path. The aloneness made the one strong and courageous, for such were needed to give knowledge to the sons of man, for their spirits were weak and feeble in the ways of eternal divine light. For constantly they turned back into man's way for their guidance, and the mighty one has given the task to the elders to watch over and guide those who desire to travel the invisible path.
We've been listening to Huguette Castaneda. She is the author of her book, Autumn Leaves Dancing in the Wind. Your journey of knowing is a search within. Huguette, tell us how to get your book.
So you can get my book. It's already available through Bubble Work Press. And they have distributed it already through Barnes & Noble, through Amazon.com. It's available as a soft cover, a hard cover, which makes a beautiful gift, and also on ebook. So if you contact Alboa Press, or if you go on the web directly, you can search Autumn Leaves Dancing in the Wind, and you will be able to access it easily.
Huguette, thank you for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.